The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but wonder why Christians need to be involved with politics. Aren't there far more important activities for Christians to be dedicated to, such as evangelism, Bible study, making the world a better place? Well, my friend, yes, we should be doing all of these things, but unfortunately, when Christians try to make the world a better place, politicians often get in the way. So it wouldn't hurt to be a little bit savvy politically. As for evangelism, our freedom of speech and freedom of religion are being sustained right now only by a thin thread, thanks to lack of political involvement on the part of Christians who still have their Wednesday night potlucks and prayer meetings. Although recently, it does seem to have been granted a temporary reprieve, our freedom, by a president who may not be as conservative as my first choices were, but who, in the short time he's been in office, has done more for conservative causes than any conservative politician in the last few decades, arguably even more than Ronald Reagan. Here to discuss it with me is National Review contributor and rotating co-host Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome to our program.
Bob, glad to be here.
Well, good. Then I assume you have something to say if you're glad to be here,
well,
Mike.
Well, I am glad to be here.
He says glad to be here, and he stares at me across the table.
I'm going to give a talk on how to elegantly and seamlessly handle cues in radio shows.
Oh, good, Mike.
Okay.
You would be a natural.
So I guess one of the things I want to talk about that's been a little bit concerning to me is a possible move to try to implement regime change in Syria, you know, with Assad there. And, you know, that
you're thinking Trump and his administration.
Well, we'll see on that. I just want to talk about it because, you know, we've been hearing one side of the equation. And certainly we know that Bashar Assad is been brutal, done a lot of terrible things there. But regime change has not really worked out well for us in the last, you know, decade or so.
Well, and yeah. And see, people seem to think that stopping him from using chemical weapons, such as he did when they bombed the airport, and I was all for that, it means that we have to follow through, get entrenched in the situation, and then do nation building. And I don't think it has to be that one follows the other. That's the way I felt about Iraq. They actually did have weapons of mass destruction. I was glad we did go in and get rid of Hussein. I don't think we needed to stay there and police the place. And I think that's where we ran into a problem. We should go in, take out their whatever we need to do and say, okay, we got rid of Hussein, or we got rid of Assad, or we got rid of your chemical weapons. We're leaving now. This is your country. You do what you want. However, if there's any terrorism strikes in America, we may just be back this way again. That's what we should do. We should stop with the nation building.
Well, we certainly, and we definitely, the nation building has not, we'll have to see. But right now, I think the signs are that it, you know, we have no assurance that we're going to have a liberal Democrat republic in Iraq or a liberal Democrat republic in Afghanistan.
And democracy doesn't fit in a part of the world that doesn't believe in democracy. Right. They believe in theocracy over there.
Right.
And Sharia law. So what are we doing trying to make a democracy?
And then, let's just counterbalance a couple of things here. First of all, the pro-democracy movement that, you know, that was the start of this whole Syrian civil war started in 2011. It was part of the Arab Spring, you know, the Arab Spring that was bringing enlightenment and the Renaissance to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well, what has the results have been of that? It's been, you know, we've gotten Egypt, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood. We've gotten Libya.
Yeah, an Egyptian president that was calling the Israelis monkeys.
So here's the thing is Assad is Western educated. He was an optometrist. In Syria, Syria is one of the more westernized countries in the Middle East. Women could drive. They have very high standards of getting educated there. Women's rights are one of the best in the country, far superior to Saudi Arabia or most of the other countries there. Christian rights have been protected under the Assad regime. So that's something we don't hear about.
But he still seems like a ruthless dictator.
Okay. So we've got a ruthless dictator, and he's in a country that's 70%+ Sunni. So who are these pro-democracy elements right now? What is the elements going against Assad right now? People who want to kill. In fact, as soon as they've taken over territory in Syria, what they've done is they've started cleansing out and killing the Christians.
So now Trump ran on not getting involved. Do you think he's being persuaded differently right now?
Well, listen, we have people in the administration that, for whatever reason, seem to like to believe in a lot of times it's lumped together with the neocons, of which I'm definitely not one. You know, that the idea is if you just go ahead and lead the horse to the water, that they'll slurp up the democracy and liberal pluralistic democracy and freedom.
They could
freedom
learn a little bit from Star Trek with their prime directive about not getting involved.
Right. And I think that we have a campaign going on that is so one-sided that we have a distortion. Now, let's go back and talk about the strike on Aleppo, right? The chemical strike, right?
Right.
On the town there. So Assad's winning this war. He's basically almost in a mop-up mode. He has been told by the Trump administration, by Trump himself, that regime change is not on the agenda. This is what the world response to that chemical attack was 100% predictable. And this guy is not a crazy guy. He's not a dumb guy. So I am still going to express some skepticism as to whether or not it was actually the Syrian forces that did it.
Oh, you don't think he actually did it?
Listen, who is the only person that got an advantage from that attack? It had no military value, none. It had nothing to do with changing the military power.
Well, it's hard to say. I know that if he did do it, I have no problem with us having taken up his capability.
Well, we haven't actually done that, but regardless.
Well, I mean,
We did a strike. Sure, we did a strike. But
I don't think that means we should get into a protracted involvement.
But my question,
if he didn't actually do it, that's
another
story.
Well, look at the response afterwards. Did that strike in any way help him militarily, help him on the world stage? Did it do anything to help him whatsoever?
No, but then when people are evil, they don't always have. We sometimes look for rational explanations.
Okay, however, let's go back into what I was talking about before. He isn't in a country. Prior to 2011, they had a society where they had Sunnis living side by side with Shiites, with the Alawite, sect of the Shia Muslims. They had Christians there. They have one of the largest Christian populations, something like 10% in the country. So, I mean, when you have opponents going against you, whose standard operating procedure is to use civilians as human shields, that does make it pretty tough to fight.
Yeah,
I think maybe
ISIS just set that up. I wouldn't put anything beyond ISIS.
Throughout the last 10 years, there's been dozens of attacks by radical Islamist terrorists using nerve gas and other types of gases, including sarin gas. And sarin gas, of all the nerve gases, is one of the easiest to manufacture and make.
Could be a ploy to divide our forces.
Let's step back from the macro level and move away from the narrative, which has been completely one-sided. As you know, Bob, that our media has not covered the atrocities against Christians, this cleansing of Christians, the destruction of Christian churches and symbols, been almost dead on that. And they haven't done that with the Syria things. So did you know that women's rights are like one of the best in the countries of Syria? Probably not, because you haven't heard it.
No, I would not have expected that in any Muslim country.
Well, in the Middle East.
Right.
Let me qualify that, okay?
Yeah, you're just saying comparatively speaking.
But they go to school. They could drive, all the things that a lot of they cannot do in a lot of countries, that Christian rights haven't been protected. So you haven't heard that in the media. So I'm just going to say is that let's not be too quick for regime change.
But I also know that the Syrians were attacking Lebanon and removing some of the Christian rights in Lebanon a number of years ago. So, and I know how the Syrians have attacked Israel. So I have no great love for the Syrian
government. I'm not saying that this guy is a good guy, but we could very well end up with somebody that's worse.
Yeah.
Okay, now the only way we could prevent that would be a massive expenditure of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Well, how do we go about authenticating this? I heard that we had reliable intelligence. Not that I've trusted our intelligence agencies much lately, but this sounded more like military intelligence overseas.
The world history of military history is replete with bad intelligence, misinterpreted intelligence, or intelligence where people want to see something and they see what they want to see.
And, well, I would hate to see our new administration getting played if that's what's happening.
Exactly. I mean, for example, let's say they do have a stock of sarin gas and Assad rolls over and initiates a conventional bombing run. And they just, the plane went by and they released some gas. It looks like a sarin gas attack, doesn't it?
Well, however it happened, though, it did show some strength in our president that probably has awakened the world. I thought it was interesting that bombing took place when he had the Russian, not the Russian, but the Chinese president.
Listen, I think it did show some strength, and it was a definitely very measured response.
Yeah.
So I do applaud that. And I don't know that it wasn't an attack by Assad.
Right.
I do not know that.
And if it was, I believe Trump did the right thing.
But once again, is that, I think that we got to step back and ask ourselves the question. Let me ask you a question, Bob. If you were running a country where you had Sunni Islamist terrorists running around trying to overthrow the government, would you be able to do what's necessary to keep your government in power, or would they get rid of you?
Well, they would get rid of me because I wouldn't be a Muslim, a Sunni, or a terrorist.
But I'm just saying let's say you actually are trying to keep democracy alive, or you have the goal of democracy, you're a leader of the country. Would you be able to do what's necessary to defeat Islamic radical terrorism in a Muslim country?
I would doubt it.
I don't think so, Bob. I don't think you could. I don't think I could. Right. The kind of people that can keep the lid on it are going to be a little bit more brutal than we're comfortable with, right?
Right.
I mean,
so you're hoping that one can cancel
Saddam
out the
Hussein,
other,
right?
Even though
they're all Saddam Hussein. Now, not a good guy, brutal guy, terrible guy in many respects, but he did keep the lid on this sectarian violence, right?
Yeah, but he was also dancing on 9/11, and he really did have. By the way, the chemical weapons that he had were smuggled into Syria, which makes me think that they do have them.
Okay,
still.
No, and my point is that now if we do not maintain a strong presence in Iraq, and continue to prop up and help the government there,
right,
what will happen when it falls?
Well, it'll just be another vacuum for another ISIS.
It'll be a person there highly likely to even be worse than Saddam Hussein because they will be their motivation will be religious fervor.
Right.
Whereas Saddam Hussein was just self-interest.
There is something to say for staying out of it until our own interests.
I'm just saying that there's two sides of the equation here, but as I'm saying, people forget that Syria was one of the better places in the Middle East.
Well, it would be nice to find out. I'd like to know what procedure could be put in place to find out for sure, because I would hate to think that we're being played. Anyway, speaking of being played, we will be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question,
Give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. This is Bob Siegel with Mike Friedenberg. A couple of weeks ago, my wife Dana substitute hosted for me to tell you about a very special retreat. That retreat is coming up this weekend, and she's here to give you an update.
Anyone out there listening, that this retreat is coming, and it is called From Grief to Gladness, because any woman who has experienced abortion is certainly carrying the grief and the pain and the burden from that. And yet you can be released from that. God is standing ready to release you from that. And yet it's not a process that we can, that we do just naturally. I went through many, many years carrying the secret, more than 30 years. I carried the secret and harbored it. And suddenly became very aware that I needed healing from this past and that it really was affecting me. And so we have this weekend that is coming up this very next weekend, April 28th through the 30th. It is at a very private place, Pine Valley Bible Conference Center in Pine Valley. It's about a 30-minute beautiful drive up out of El Cajon, so it's very close. We have our own meeting halls, our own housing. And every woman that attends this retreat has experienced abortion. So it's a very safe, confidential place. And we will share stories. And we have a wonderful leadership team of 7 women who are just amazing. And I would just love so much for you to meet these women, to hear their stories. And you will find you are not alone, that there is someone or several that have experienced what you've experienced. The cost is $125. That includes 5 meals, your housing, all the retreat materials, and very special takeaway gifts that have been prepared just for you. So we also want to say, too, that if finances are a hardship for you, please do not hesitate to let us know. We do not want money to be the reason you don't go to this. So if you're needing assistance with that, we do have scholarships available as well. So I just would like to encourage any ladies out there listening that if you have struggled with the pain of an abortion from your past, this weekend is just for you. And so please go to Bob's website to find the information you need. You can go back and listen to their radio show that I did a few weeks ago with 3 of the other leaders from our team. They're just amazing women. And you will also be able to see very soon a video about a very brief part of my story that will be on his website too very soon. So ladies, please look into that. Go to Bob's website, look into the information, call me or email me, and I will be happy to let you know how you can be a part of our team.
Your email is?
on the website when they go to your website. Oh. So your email is.
Okay. Well, but you want them to have your email number, not mine.
Yes, but they can
get your website. BobSiegel.net.
Thank you, because everything is on. The reason I'm saying that is because the past radio show link, the video link, all of that will be on the website, okay. And you'll get much more information.
The date for that was the last Sunday of March. So that's the radio show that you want to
find on
my show.
Okay. Yeah, so that show would be the one that you'd want to listen to. So I just think it'd be easier for you to start on Bob's website, review that information, and then on the website is the information on how to connect with me. So I'm just praying that we have room for a few more women. It's a very small group, again, very confidential and private. And we would love to have you join us and just walk through this weekend with you. Thank you for letting me share that.
You bet. Thank you, honey. All right, Mike, we now return from the subject of abortion to the subject of genocide. Happy topics today.
Well, there could be some joy and happiness in the fact that there is healing.
Yes.
On abortion side.
Absolutely. In fact, yes. What Dana was saying was much more upbeat than what we've been talking
about. The genocide, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of things going on, though, in the news. There's Korea. There's the threat of another government shutdown, which, of course, will be done by the Democrats and made to look like it was done by the Republicans, as always. But what other things are on your radar today?
Well, I mean, we're coming up on the first 100 days of the Trump administration.
And I'm listening to commentators on MSNBC say that he hasn't done anything his first 100
days. No, and that's...
I think he's done more than any president in history has done in his first 100 days.
What I think that we need to have, what we need to think about to put things in perspective is two things. One is the implacable, unprecedented Democrat opposition to him. This has never been seen in the history of our country.
I thought it was bad when Bush was president, but that was nothing compared to this.
This trumps that by far.
No pun intended.
And no pun intended. It is amazing, though, how often that word comes up. Trump.
Yes.
But no. So he certainly was crippled by the inability to get his people in office. And we're talking about the major cabinet appointees, but if they had gotten into office in a timely fashion, then they would have been able to appoint their second and third tier people, their fourth tier people, and start cleaning house. So he was crippled from the very beginning by the Democrats.
And obviously the Democrats have been contemptible, but frankly, most of my anger is at the spineless Republicans. They did not have to let that go on. How many months did it take them to finally figure out that they could use the nuclear option? And why don't they use it again for everything else? I'm already hearing Mitch McConnell talk about, we need the Democrats. We don't need the Democrats. Not if they do the nuclear option. And then they go, then the Democrats will use the nuclear option against us. Of course they will. And they have. I think it's time for the Republicans to just stand up and be counted.
To get major legislation through, though, it is a little bit different. We were able to do the 50% plus one voting because we were doing changes in existing legislation. So that was one of the issues with the repealing and replacing the Obamacare. The reason we did it the way we did it, and the reason we could do it because of the 50% plus one vote, was because we were doing a repeal and replace process piecemeal. If we had tried to do it wholesale, it would have actually taken 60 votes.
But why would it take 60 votes?
Because that's the Senate rules. It's a completely...
But we can change those.
But that's not been done, and I don't know. I'm not sure if that can be done because that's something that's never been done for the Democrats.
Tired of Mitch McConnell and the others giving us lectures about the subtle, idiotic nuances of the Senate.
But this isn't... No, but see, that was... We're talking about something that was a tradition.
Yes, but...
Versus something that I believe actually is constitutional.
No, there's nothing in the Constitution
we're talking about two different things.
To be 60 votes.
Yes, there is. Okay, well, I believe that there is, but it is a different thing to create new legislation of a certain types and then to what we are doing with
the
Obamacare.
My understanding is all it says in the Constitution is that the Senate will set their own rules. With the Republicans in the majority, they can change the rules anytime they want. The Democrats would do that in a heartbeat, and they have. But what's going to get done, Mike? Not one Democrat is going to go along with this. Not one Democrat. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Mike Friedenberg, we're discussing the news of the day. We're living in very turbulent times. You just can't turn on the TV anymore without there being a major headline. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Yes, hey, Bob, I do 100% agree with you, though. I actually am more annoyed with the Republicans than the Democrats.
I'm just tired. I'm tired of them. I this is why I'm now an independent. Well, actually, I was a Democrat before, but a conservative Democrat. But I'm fed up with both parties. I'm an independent now.
It is very frustrating because there really right now is no alternative but to vote Republican. But it's so frustrating because, you know, you have right now what I see is Donald Trump out in front trying to get things done, taking the slings and the arrows, and the Republicans still cowering, still worried about what the New York Times says, still, you know, putting their finger in the air to see what the mainstream media says about
them. And the mainstream media will paint them with horns and a pitchfork no matter what they do. When will they get this through their thick skulls? Why don't they just do what's right and forget about them? Why don't they worry more about pleasing the people that put them into office?
Bob, that's...
So I'll ask you, Mike, are we going to see Obamacare repealed? Are we going to see the tax cuts? Is it going to happen? Or are we going to sit around and try to woo the Democrats? Democrats like Charles Schumer and Al Franken.
We may be able to get a few Democrats. And I'm not giving yet up yet on passing some major legislation. I did not like the way the first shot at replacing and repealing Obamacare took place. Oh, I did not like that process.
Yeah, that stupid thing Paul Ryan tried to come up with.
Right. And I was...
And see, we kept hearing it was because we need the 60 votes. That's why we can't do everything at once. And
well, the thing is that is, I guess, I think it was 75, they moved the cloture, that means closing down debate, from 2/3 to 3/5. So that's where the 60 votes comes. It's the 3/5. And we always used to, there was always the idea that you would have cloture, you'd get 60 votes, get cloture. Then the Democrats changed that when it came to federal court nominees. They were willing to go past that. And they did the nuclear option on the federal judges.
Yeah.
Then the Republicans, you know, said, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to do that.
Portion. So why don't we just do it for everything?
So do it for everything. I mean.
We're in the majority now. When will we be in the majority? If we're not going to be in the majority much longer.
What you said is probably true. We've now reached the point where. If they had Hillary Clinton in office and the Democrats had a majority, they would have done majority, they probably would have just nuked everything.
And I guarantee you, if they get back in the majority again, and they will if the Republicans keep this up, they will not hesitate for a second to act like they're in the majority. When they are in the majority, we hear elections have consequences. When they are not in the majority, we get these sanctimonious lectures about how the people want bipartisanship. I'm just getting sick and tired of it. And I'm tired of these spineless Republicans. I'm holding them accountable. I'm with Sean Hannity on this. I am holding them accountable.
Now, I would give President Trump an A minus so far, and I would give the Republican Congress a D or a C.
Yeah.
I mean, they have not kept
it's
up
insane.
Their end of the bargain.
We kept hearing, well, we got to get the House back, then we'll repeal it. Okay, well, we got the House, but we got to get the Senate back. Okay, we have the House and the Senate, but we don't have the White House. Now we have everything, and what are we hearing? There's subtle nuances. We got to have 60. I'm sure I'm getting sick of all this.
Here is the thing is that I think we do need to consider is that the Democrat base is far more energized right now than they were prior to the election.
Well, yeah, because they realize they had a lousy candidate and they're united by their absolute hatred and contempt of Donald Trump.
But that energized base is, I mean, listen, I think we ignore at our peril the size of the rallies, the people showing up to these events. Sure, we could try to comfort ourselves and say they're all paid activists, but that's not true. There is a lot of people that are being active now because they're shocked that Donald Trump won.
Yeah,
and they thought they were going to sweep in there and get what they wanted. So this is an activist base that's going to be working very hard to do well in the 2018 elections.
And it's a base that doesn't believe in freedom of speech and is going
right.
to get. Have you heard the latest? When there's violence out on the college campuses, if you call the violence violence, you're the real violence. Because
right.
what this violence is not violence. It's democracy in action and freedom of speech.
Not only that, it's so noble. That, of course, is justified because the violence is being levied against somebody that's so evil. Of course, it's good.
Yes, and we can't listen to the other side talk because the other side is fascist. Meanwhile, they're using fascist tactics to keep the so-called fascists
talking. It's
it's going to be worse if the Republicans don't do something.
So that's the point. The point is that if the Republicans want to do well in 2018 and not lose ground, they're going to have to get a good health care bill in place, pass it, and they need a tax reform. If they do both those things, there's a chance that we could keep the hold we have on the House and possibly pick up some U.S. Senate seats. But if we don't do that, we could take a hit.
And frankly, I don't care if we pass a health care bill. I just want to get rid of the one we already have and let the free sector take over. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker, Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. I sound frustrated and fed up, it's only because I am. Last week we had an Easter repeat. 2 weeks ago, I was getting some of the people on Facebook to join me in my anger. It was reminiscent of the old movie Network, the I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. But that's the way I'm feeling, Mike.
Bob, I think a lot of Republicans, a lot of people that are very concerned about our country are very frustrated. And
it's just they're washing all this down the drain. I mean, they will go down in history as the worst Congress we ever had if they let this opportunity get away from
them. No, we have the opportunity now. And if I look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I see Trump trying to fulfill on every single promise
he
made.
He's going through a checklist. I have never seen anybody fulfill more promises in such a quick time.
And if he had the full support of the Republicans, and
they're deserting him at the flank.
And Bob, I hate to say it, but I believe that there are Republicans that remember he ran against the Republican establishment. They're not going to be vocal about it right now because that's potential political suicide for them. But there are ones there that would love to see him weakened.
Yeah, oddly enough, two of his greatest enemies, Lindsey Graham and John McCain, are eaten out of his hand now because of that Syrian strike.
Well, they
seem to love Trump now because of that bombing on Syria, because they're both such hawks.
Yes, they are classic on the neocon side.
Yeah.
And they
also pretty classic on having a borderless America, even though they would not phrase it that way.
Yeah, I mean, for example, right now we're talking about a potential government shutdown. Now, let me ask you a question here. Trump campaigned on the wall. I personally believe the wall could be of some value. I think there's other things you could do that are going to be more effective. But listen,
he campaigned on it. Yeah, I'd like you. I don't I'm more into the E-verify. But look, he campaigned on the wall. He needs to build.
And
the
wall. I do believe that it can have some value in conjunction with a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah,
by itself.
And now we have Paul Ryan going out of his way to say, "Well, we're not going to fund it."
So the thing is, should Trump just say, "Hey, unless I have the wall funding in here, I'm not going to sign the bill."
He has every right to do that. And of course, the funding would get paid back. But when he said that Mexico was going to pay for it, he wasn't saying they were going to cut us a check. All we have to do is start cutting their aid or something. We could get that money from them overnight.
Some sort of value add tax. There's a lot of ways
you
can recategorize easily. That was one of those things
when
I didn't really care
like
about.
People act like that's something that can't be. But again, he campaigned.
I didn't care about Mexico paying for the wall.
No, but I'd love to see them pay for it.
Some way, by hook or by crook, sure, I'd love
hook
to
see. Hook or by crook, dollars or pesos, they need to pay for that wall.
Okay. I would like to see it built. And my question, though, is, you know, does it make sense for Donald Trump to shut down the government? I think he's got to draw a line in the sand somewhere to get some things done, because he's going to, especially for example, the wall's going to be one thing, but on some of the trade issues, he's going to be hitting major opposition to the Republicans. Now, see, that's an area if the Democrats would, you know, just start acting with some common sense, that he could reach across the aisle and get some support on
this.
Did I
hear you use the word Democrats and common sense in the same sentence, Mike?
There used to be people with that, like that in
the days of John Kennedy, maybe.
Or Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
People like that.
I mean,
there was
deals with Reagan.
There used to be people in Congress that were Democrats that were liberals. They were patriotic. They loved their country.
Well, there's a difference between being a liberal and a downright Marxist.
And a leftist, right. Yeah. They love the country. They might disagree with you and I on the size of the government or what the proper role of government is or what you can actually accomplish through government. But there would have been a lot of common ground. And we've lost a lot of that. And I think that there are Democrats like that right now, but they're in fear from a controlling group of Democrats that they know that, you know, they will get hammered if they step out of line. So, but hopefully maybe there's some of those people that will look at their own self-preservation and step forward to become part of the coalition.
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. But it's a hope. I mean, that's what I see coming up now is we have to get some legislation passed there. I mean, the executive orders are great. And I think the ones he's passed have made sense. And I'm hoping now with Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, we can now start to see, you know, some real border security without every lower court stopping, you know, everything he does, which is 100% constitutional.
And I hear there's rumor that there's going to be another retiree soon. So I hope he follows through with another conservative.
And that would be right now, we already have what we absolutely needed from Donald Trump, which was that good Supreme Court nominee. We got that already.
Well, we need another one to tip the scale. Well, that would be, right now Kennedy's the swing vote.
I agree.
He could do anything.
But we still have that already. So, yeah. So, but think about the issues that are coming up now that we have a chance on. With Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, you know, cutting off the funding to the sanctuary cities.
Well, presumably. We still don't. I mean, I'm glad Gorsuch got in. We don't know what he's going to do.
Well, just think if he wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, no, it would be worse.
I mean, we have a chance now. Right.
Yeah.
With and right now, before we were in these the lower courts making the decisions, it was 4-4. Right now,
so what's going to happen with these sanctuary cities? I predict that when Trump removes the funding for sanctuary cities and sanctuary state now, if Jerry Brown signs that bill in California, I think some judge will rule that not funding the states is unconstitutional. There'll be absolutely no basis for it, but that's exactly what they'll do.
Of course, they don't need a basis. All they have to do is say, "This is what I think." Yeah. I want to have happen and put something together. Apparently, that's what the new standard
is. And isn't it interesting how when Trump came out with that second vetting order, that the judge went back to what he knew his original intent was during the campaign? But these judges don't seem to care about the original intent of the forefathers, only the original intent of Donald Trump.
Right. They went back there and they politicized it completely, 100% politicization of it. They did not make legal judgments. Actually, their judgments were completely lawless. Some of the most lawless people in this country are the activist judges that disregard the Constitution, disregard precedent, and put their own moral judgments in place of the law. That is lawlessness.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you think this is all going to come down, Mike? Where do you think we'll be 6 months to a year from now?
Well, if we don't get this done in... We're already getting the first 100 days. So if we don't get this done in the next 6 months, some of this major legislation,
we start going into campaign season.
Then we start going to campaign season, and whatever backbone, you know, is in the Republicans or lack of backbone is just going to increase.
Although I would think some of them would be afraid to go back and face their constituents who put them in power to do this. Why are they more afraid of the New York Times than their own voters?
Bob, that's the age old question.
Something is in the water in Washington.
No, I think they live in an environment where they really pay attention to what's being said on the shows. And I mean, we've seen it now for over a decade where time and time again, it's proven that doing the right thing will help you get elected, but they still don't do the right thing.
Okay. Well, we'll do the right thing by coming right back. This is Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
This is Dana Ray, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, here to tell you about Bob's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. What kid could resist the chance to wish for anything he wanted, even if he knew he was flirting with certain danger every single time he made the wish? 12-year-old Mike Owen has received a special present from his eccentric Aunt Lorene, a magic Christmas ornament. The ornament functions as a kind of Aladdin's lamp, but with a unique twist. Each time Mike's wish is granted, something bad happens to a person who is with him at the time the wish was spoken. This, of course, sets up a chain reaction of trouble and adventure. Weighing his own desires against the consequences to those around him, Mike learns a valuable lesson about choices and personal responsibility while experiencing a nonstop adventure with extremely unusual turns. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com.
Mike, we're down to our last segment. I know you wanted to review some of the executive orders of the newly elected President Trump.
Well, they have been, as a group, pretty, really good executive orders. I mean, we've seen him repeal the order. For example, he repealed the order mandating and, the strong advisory that every school district has to implement transgender bathrooms. That was removed.
Yeah. It almost makes you think that a monarchy may not have been that bad of an idea. I guess it depends on the monarch.
Well, actually,
I hated it when the monarch was Obama.
But a noble king, a truly noble king, could probably be better than democracy in terms of the end results.
Unfortunately, we very seldom have noble kings, so we can't have monarchies.
And their history has been full of people that have noble kings or queens, but then the kids turn out to be pretty rotten.
Yeah, so spoiled. Well, I guess if he raises a prince to get anything he wants, he's kind of spoiled in the palace.
Yeah. So, we have a democracy,
like the
a
little
Democratic
girl
Republic.
In Willy Wonka. I want it now, Daddy.
Yes, exactly. So, one of the first ones he put in place was and this was really encouraging, was for every regulation implemented, federal regulation, you had to retire two federal regulations.
I like that one.
And that was a wonderful.
And a lot of his executive orders are just reversing Obama's executive orders.
But that went beyond it. That was something that was not done by the Bush administration. That was a novel idea. We have not seen.
Would you agree that even though he's more of a populist than a conservative, that in fact he's been doing more for conservatives than conservatives have done?
Yes. We have
in a radical way.
I am convinced.
Only to just keep his promises.
Listen,
he's doing more for the conservative movement than any conservative I can think of recently.
On paper, Mike Pence looks to be more conservative than Donald Trump.
But he would not have gotten all these.
But he would not have had as radical as, and he would have been far more status quo than Donald Trump.
Sometimes there's just such a thing as being too nice of a guy.
Right.
Sometimes we need someone that'll get in there and get in the gutter and fight.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we recently had an order signed on having to do with financial regulations, and the Dodd-Frank was passed after the collapse, that happened at the end of the Bush administration.
Miserable Dodd-Frank bill. Yeah.
And it's really restricted. It's particularly hurt smaller banks in terms of their ability to raise and use capital. So that's a good one. Everybody's focused on the negative, but it really will help the smaller banks. He issued a memoranda to order an investigation into the use of foreign steel in how it's affecting national security. So, and there's a number of ones like that that have, the H-1B visa program. It's been entirely abused by many companies to import cheap labor into this country, college-educated labor at the expense of our own college-educated, not because they're better, but because they're cheaper. And I personally don't have a problem with, giving first shot to our own people. And one of the things that I object to is always, looking at, whether it's going to cost the consumer more or less. I want to look at the whole picture, which is basically says that, hey, if I have a person that's got a job, that's a tremendous value to the country. And if I have to pay a couple more pennies for something, I don't mind if that means that my fellow American is working.
Because if the economy's good, it ends up being good for everybody.
And it ends up being good for everybody. And a lot of the expected raise, price increases that people say will happen if we enforce, common sense trade policies, they won't happen. Because if we start enforcing common sense trade policies and allow companies that are high capital type companies, they'll be able to produce stuff at the same price as China is. The reason they're not doing it now is China has been flooding the market and dumping and destroying their ability to compete. So China dumps into the market, and as soon as the companies leave, China raises the prices. They come back into the market and they dump the prices again. So we have to get control over companies, over countries like China in terms of how they've been manipulating the markets. So he's going to be very good on that. So the H-1B, and then he also did this is something I hadn't really paid attention till the election, but the opioid crisis in the country, I did not realize how bad it was. 50,000 deaths a year. That's Vietnam every year in deaths on drug overdoses. I mean, we personally know people that have been affected by this.
They've been really turning around the whole veteran hospital scandal too, haven't they?
Yes, and he's been aggressively going after that. I mean, so there, as I said, I would give Trump an A-, and the only reason I would give him an A-, and you take the minus from him, is I'm a little bit, it may have been the right thing to do, but I wasn't really happy when he went after the Freedom Caucus.
No, and I said that on this program, because they're just trying to do what he's doing, keeping their promises. Why doesn't he go after the moderates and the spineless wusses that aren't keeping their
right?
Promises?
And I understand, and there's probably another side to that.
He's probably privy to some right. bad advice in his cabinet.
And the other thing I'm a little bit worried about with Donald Trump is that I think he wants to do a check mark on his promises, and I appreciate that. But
who knows what he'll do after they're all checked?
But what I'm concerned about is that he sometimes might go for something that's not really the best
just
in order
so
to
say
check it.
Also, I don't like him when he says if the Republicans won't work with me, I'll work with the Democrats. Now, again, we're both pretty angry at the Republicans, but the Democrats are not going to do anything that would really advance this country, and he knows that. But I do think Trump is, I think one of his weaknesses is he's so much into the art of the deal that he'd rather make a deal than no deal if given that choice, even if that deal is not a good one.
I'm not going to hold it against him, but you do know that I'm not a fan of the F-35.
Right.
And I had some hope that he would just, you know, send a really strong signal that defense reform was on the front burner.
Right.
I don't believe it is. I think he believes that by spending, right now, the plan is to spend an extra $50 billion per year on the defense. And I don't mind spending money on defense, but I don't believe that $50 billion is going to buy us very much. I think that if we were to focus on defense, I mean, I would ask a question of any self-respecting Republican conservatives. Can anybody out there that's a Republican or conservative really tell me that there's not 10 to 20% fat in the defense budget that we couldn't cut? That's ridiculous. If you understand anything about that defense budget, I mean, 20%. And if we were able to improve our procurement process by 20%, that's putting an extra $100 billion into defense. And that's what I would like to see him doing. And I don't see him doing that as of yet. But on the other hand, that's a really complex system. And he has people or generals around him who probably, you know, they're part of the system and part of the problem. And it's going to be pretty hard for him to, you know, just, well, it might take him more than a year.
And
to
I do
that
like the fact that he has a variety of people with a variety of viewpoints around him. Unfortunately, I think some of these viewpoints that he's listening to have not been very good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was very interesting that it's sort of a subtle thing, but he de-operationalized the National Security Council. And what was happening is that they have the people sitting on the Security Council, right? Like people where they get Steve Bannon, right? Was
right.
Originally moved from it. But that council was actually sitting there getting operational data and directing the generals how to fight a war.
Hmm.
So rather than being an advisory council doing high-level strategy and very high-level tactics, they had become an operational council. So he de-operationalized
and pushed
the command back to the battlefield.
We don't want to micromanage.
So I mean that was a huge, huge step. I mean, that will really help improve our response in the battlefield.
Okay, Mike. Well, thanks for coming on and giving us this update. We'll see if we have better news to report a few months from now.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me on. It was been a lot of fun to do this.
Okay. Talk to you soon. See you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.